We are back, and here we go, Graziano. This is a tough one from Sneaky Hembo. Prior to Stephon Gilmore, who was the last player to win Defensive Player of the Year on the number one scoring defense in the NFL?
I have to take a guess here. I'm going to go back to like 9-10 years ago, some of those Ravens and Steelers teams. I'm just going to pick a guy. I remember James Harrison won Defensive Player of the Year around the time the Steelers were dominating on defense. I'm going to guess James Harrison.
Well, that is an excellent guess. Can I bring Ryan Clark into the conversation here? Because you have the right team, but the wrong player. It was Troy Polamalu.
Oh, Polamalu?
Ryan Clark was on that team. RC, your thoughts?
I was on both of those teams. I was on both of those teams. Yeah. And those dudes were the best I had ever played with. And so, Dan, it's okay, bro. Like, James, Troy, it's all the same. We were dominant, and people forget it. We were smashing faces, taking names, kicking butts. I wish we would have won the Super Bowl, but Aaron Rodgers was there that year, so hey, what
can you do? It was the 2010 season. It was Troy Polamalu. It's a pretty good guess by you, Graziano, all things considered. I will give you the credit for it.
Now, we're how good we were, though. We did it twice.
We're talking about Gilmore this morning, and here's why. He's a game changer. Game Changer is brought to you by Marines. Every morning this week, we reveal a new member of the 99 Club in Madden. And today's honor goes to Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore. Laura Rutledge has more on the most dominant corner in the NFL.
They come. Darnold off his back foot. Blows one up the seam.
This member of the 99 Club has made a career of going unnoticed.
And it's intercepted. Picked off by Stephon Gilmore.
Pass to be intercepted by Gilmore. Goodbye.
He was tied for the most interceptions in the league last season, five of which came from him playing in man coverage.
Throws it to the right. Gilmore's there. Intercepted at the four.
He had the most targets thrown his way before giving up a touchdown.
Gilmore feasted on it. They just don't stop.
His ability to press in man coverage while staying aware of what's going on around him has made him the most dominant corner in the game.
Stephon Gilmore picks it off for the Patriots.
Stephon Gilmore going up and he's got the interception.
The next member of the 99 Club, Stephon Gilmore.
The Madden rankings debate continues this morning on First Take. Kyler Murray will join the show to discuss how he stacks up against fellow former Oklahoma quarterback and number one pick Baker Mayfield. That's First Take, 11 a.m. Eastern this morning here on ESPN following MLS. Good question for, we'll have coming up in the next hour. If you could have Aaron Donald on your team or Myles Garrett on your team or Stephon Gilmore on your team, which would you take the best at their respective positions in the NFL? We'll talk about that as this hour gets underway. Here we go. It's time to get up on ESPN. Come on, get up. The morning after. The D in Big D stands for divorce, which is where it seems to be headed in Dallas. We have a live report coming up. Then, Cam has the best wardrobe, but has he finally found a pair of shoes that even he cannot fill? We will explain, and the conversation is upcoming. And then there is trouble in the bubble. Are the players doing the right thing by calling out the ones who are doing it wrong? Jalen Rose with his thoughts as we get this hour rolling on ESPN. Starts in the NFL. The July 15th deadline has come and gone. And the headline, no deal. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. So he will play this season on the $31.4 million exclusive franchise tag. We have this quote that we in from Dak Prescott. Here's what he said via Jory Epstein of USAtoday.com. He said, I'm a Cowboy and couldn't be happier. I look forward to working along Coach McCarthy, the staff, and my teammates to be the best team we can be in pursuit to our goal of a Super Bowl. So as usual, Dak Prescott says exactly the right thing. His brother, meanwhile, Tad, had a very different reaction on Twitter. He said, there is a reason I was never a Dallas Cowboys fan growing up or before they drafted Dak. After today, who knows how much longer I'll be cheering for them. So there's really two sides to that story. Let's first get the information from our Cowboys reporter. Here's Todd Archer, who gets up with us this morning. Todd, you raised the question in your most recent column on ESPN.com. Are the Cowboys and Dak Prescott now headed towards an inevitable divorce?
Well, Greeny, you certainly can't dismiss it. And let's use history as a guide. There's been two quarterbacks that play at least one season on a franchise tag, and neither signed a long-term deal with their teams. San Diego with Drew Brees, well, they had Phillip Rivers waiting in the wings, so they moved on from him. Washington tagged Kirk Cousins twice. They probably never really loved him, and the feeling was mutual, so they let him walk. And now with the Cowboys, this has opened up a possibility that we probably didn't think there was a chance of happening not too long ago. And we all remember the dark time the Cowboys had from Troy Aikman to Tony Romo. And they similarly got lucky, obviously, when they got Dak Prescott in the fourth round in 2016. Short of winning a Super Bowl, Greeny, I just don't know what changes. The Cowboys are still going to want a five-year deal. He's still going to want a four-year deal. What one side will have to move, and they didn't move this time.
Well,
it reminded me of something that Jerry Jones said during the Zeke talks, right? Jerry goes, when have I not gotten a deal done? Well, Greeny, we have an answer.
Yeah.
They didn't get a deal done.
He didn't get a deal done. And there are ramifications. I mean, here's one of the things that happens now. Can you describe what happens to the Cowboys' salary cap if Dak plays on the franchise tag the next two seasons? Because the money will be about $69 million.
Well, this is where the interesting thing comes in from the cap perspective when we wonder about the effects of the pandemic on the NFL going forward. If the cap is flat or goes down, the Cowboys would not have enough room under the cap to fit that $37.7 million tag should they go that route again on Prescott in 2021. Now, they can make it work, though. It cut some players, restructure contracts, DeMarcus Lawrence, Zach Martin, Amari Cooper, pick a whole bunch of guys. But what that does is rob future cap space and add to those guys' numbers going forward. So it's not a great, it's not an impossible path. It's just not an ideal path.
Right. It's the old robbing Peter to pay Paul. We talked about it a million times, and this is where they find themselves. Todd, thank you very much. Well done. Let me get a little perspective on all of this as we have RC and Nick with us this morning, and the great Jalen Rose is here. And Jalen, so you know I always come to you to interpret the stuff that people say. So the quotes again, Dak Prescott said all the right things. Dak said exactly what you would expect him to say. He couldn't be happier. Meanwhile, his brother says what you're thinking he really thinks, which is I was never a fan of the Cowboys to begin with, and now I'm not going to be anymore. So Jalen, who should we believe?
His brother's saying what the family's saying behind the scenes during those quarantine parties when more than too many people should be socially gathering in the kitchen, including Ezekiel Elliott. He's saying the real. And that's Dak's unhappy with the Dallas Cowboys, and he should be. And correct me if I'm wrong, Neek and Ryan. The Dallas Cowboys already got the bargain. They already got the bargain.
Absolutely.
They're paying a backup quarterback in Andy Dalton more money this year than they paid Dak the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. How about that? And they've taken care of people on the defense. They've taken care of people on the offense. You draft another weapon in C.D. Lamb, and you don't take care of the quarterback? This leads to a frustration, I'm telling you, Greeny, that goes deep-rooted about that quarterback position and black players. You don't get a chance to get paid early like Jimmy Garoppolo or make it to the Super Bowl once like Jared Goff and get taken care of. Or your team wins the Super Bowl without you and Carson Wentz and they still give you top dollar. It still permeates in the league. We have to continue to prove ourselves time and time and time again. Look at Cam Newton. This dude's an MVP in the league. He's playing for $1 million? What about Jameis Winston? He threw for 5,000 yards. Those two guys I just named combined make less money than Chase Daniels. Chase Daniels makes more money than those two accomplished quarterbacks combined. But when names like Ryan Fitzpatrick come up, oh, accomplished. We'll love to have him. Gardner Minshew, oh, yeah, all of the sideshows. But these guys are accomplished quarterbacks that have outplayed their contracts, deserve to get paid. And Dak, I hope he ends up somewhere else after he does a Kirk Cousins these next couple of years.
You know, it is an interesting place that you've taken it, Jalen. So let's go there. Dominique, I'll come to you first on this. Hard feelings. I mean, what impact, for those of us who are football fans and want to know how this will impact the team, there have to be some hard feelings here. What impact do you think they have on Dak and on the Cowboys?
So you don't have to know football, follow football to have feelings. And all of us have feelings and emotions. Some of us are good at hiding them and some of us are good at lying about them. But we all know how we would feel if we were underpaid for 4 years and gave our employer great effort and great and produced at a high level. And then when it was time for us to get paid, we watched all the other people around us who are not as good as us and not as important as us and who have made more than me up to this point. We watched them get paid, it's impossible for that not to upset you and bother you. And I think this is a unique situation because no one ever does this to a quarterback. The same way that you don't do it to a head coach that you want to keep. Like, if a coach is coming up on the last year of his deal, they give an extension just because they want him to have authority in the locker room. The same thing happens for quarterbacks. You give them extensions because their happiness is important to the culture of the locker room and the things that we talked about yesterday, and saying that how Cam Newton is extra motivated. So those moments when he's alone and he can choose between turning on Xbox or recording a video or playing with his son, he can choose between that or studying some extra film. It's likely in those moments, because of that motivation, he's going to study that extra film. And I don't know Dak Prescott, but I could imagine that in those moments, this feeling can impact Dak Prescott in that way, and maybe negatively feel like, man, I ain't doing that. They don't care about me. They don't respect me. And the same thing will permeate the locker room. They have a new coach. So the person who has the tightest grip on the culture of that entire team is Dak Prescott. Rain Dakota Prescott, and y'all pissed him off and alienated him. He's going to come into that locker room. He's going to try to do the best that he can. But anyone around him who knows him will be able to feel, whether they can feel it or not, they know that he's not feeling well, and it's not going to bode well for that entire team.
RC?
Well, the one thing I want to get to on Jalen's point is this. I remember in 2017, I've always been on the same side of the Black Lives Matter conversation, on the Colin Kaepernick protest conversation. Yeah. I've never wavered in that. And I remember I was looking to Russell Wilson, who was an All Lives Matter guy at the time, and Dak Prescott, because he played with Jerry Jones, or for Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones was very staunch in his stance that no one on his team was going to protest during the anthem. And so Dak Prescott, who is a Black quarterback, got on the podium and he backed Jerry Jones. He stood with Jerry Jones, and I do believe he did that so he could show that team that he was willing to compromise almost everything, almost who he was, in order to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And now you fast forward to this, and what he learned was, no matter what side of that conversation that he was on, he's still Black. He's a Black quarterback on a team with an owner that many people, not Ryan Clark, because I ain't been waiting for him, has been waiting to speak up, because he's the most heard owner, not only in football, but in sports. And he still hasn't. And the first time you guys brought me on, when all of these things started to happen and the George Floyd protest started, you asked me about Jerry Jones. And I said, you know what? Sometimes people only allow you to be Black enough in a certain box. And quarterback may be that box for Jerry Jones, that I can't overextend myself. I can't make sure that I make him happy like they did a Carson Wentz or a Jared Goff, because he is still a Black quarterback. And this offseason, and Patrick Mahomes is an outlier for sure, this offseason has taught us that whether it's Jameis Winston, that it's Cam Newton, that it's Dak Prescott, there is still a different level of scrutiny that these guys are under. And right now, Dak Prescott is feeling it.
Really interesting.
You're right, Nick, real quick. There's one thing that I think I should clarify with everything that Ryan said is important, but you said that it felt like Dak might have compromised himself. It seems to me that Dak's behavior, as much as I support him on the field and his play, because I feel like he's underappreciated, it seems like his behavior and decisions he's made off the field suggest that his stance on not kneeling was not to capitulate to Jerry Jones. It was because that's how he feels. Because in the wake of the George Floyd killing, when players, famous, popular NFL players were coming out and part of that video calling the NFL to stand up, Dak Prescott gave $1 million to police for training. Like, those decisions say something about Dak Prescott to me, which honestly seems like it fits perfectly for Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. So I don't know what else he could do besides be an awesome player, do and say all the things that you want, stay healthy, play well. How else you could earn your money? And it's hard to come to any other conclusion than the one that Jalen suggested at the top of this segment.
Certainly said all the right things again last night. I'm going to leave it here for the moment, but this is certainly something we'll continue to discuss. Meanwhile, we'll talk more here about other quarterbacks. Coming up, Cam addressing what he calls the elephant in the room when it comes to replacing Tom Brady. How will he handle that spotlight in New England? We'll be talking about it. And he hasn't played since swinging his helmet at Mason Rudolph. Did the Browns make a big mistake by giving Myles Garrett $100 million? We'll talk about that and more as we continue Get Up on ESPN. We'll be right back. We're back on Get Up. I found this fascinating. So Cam Newton opened up on a variety of topics surrounding his signing with the Patriots during a recent roundtable discussion on YouTube that was led by Odell Beckham Jr. And one of the topics that Cam addressed was replacing Tom Brady. And he said, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. And it's like, you know who I'm coming after. I'm like, yeah, great. What he was, what he is, it's great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, Coach McDaniels will be able to call some stuff that we've never been able to call now. You're getting a dog, and you're getting one of these ticked off dogs, too. And you know, as they bring RC and Neek back in here, it's fascinating to me because Cam is such a significant figure unto himself that we never even really talked about the Brady factor when he signed there because there were so many other interesting pieces of the discussion. How will he, you know, sort of work together with Belichick? How different will the offense look and all the rest of that? RC, for a player of Cam's stature, what pressure is there, do you think, that comes specifically from being the guy who's replacing Tom Brady in New England?
Absolutely none for him. And I said this in the beginning of this whole deal, the reason that Bill Belichick should have gotten or should have went out to get Cam Newton was because he's been under the spotlight and under scrutiny since he took his first snap at Auburn. If you remember early on last season, I had the incident with Paul Feinbaum because people have always felt some type of way about Cam Newton from the way that he handled meetings at the end of, interviews at the end of games, from the way that his demeanor was on the sideline, even going back to someone critiquing the way that he smiled when he was coming out of Auburn into the NFL. Cam Newton knows what it's like to be in the spotlight. Cam Newton knows what it's like to have people root against you. And so playing after Tom Brady will be the last thing that he has to worry about because he has always had many people that wanted to see him fail. Cam Newton is motivated. Cam Newton is excited to get this opportunity. Cam Newton does know that he is special in his own right. So that's the type of guy you needed to replace Tom Brady. Imagine being Jarrett Stidham, and every time you throw a pass, you have to hear what Tom Brady used to do or what Tom Brady would have done. When Cam Newton throws a pass, it'll be about Cam Newton because it's always been about Cam Newton, and Cam Newton has had to overcome that adversity and those obstacles since he's been taking snaps at the quarterback position.
What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way. I felt the opposite, but I mean, the point that you make has been proven out these past couple weeks. Greeny, you made it off the top. We haven't even talked about Tom Brady until Cam brought him up himself. So, however, I do think there is going to be some pressure on him considering that he is following the greatest quarterback of all time, the most winningest, at least, quarterback of all time. But you're right about Cam Newton always dealing with this pressure. Like, you can go all the way back. I've been listening to this podcast series from The Ringer by Tyler Tynes that's about Cam Newton. And you learn so much about his time growing up in high school and so much about his time at Florida. Cam Newton's been through some things. I don't think that following Tom Brady is pressure enough to impact him negatively, but I don't think it means that the pressure's not there. Anytime you're following someone like that and you're entering the situation almost identical to the way it was left by Tom Brady. So if you're not able to improve on that, I think that does look bad a little bit for Cam Newton, but I don't think the pressure will affect him, but the pressure is there.
It's just interesting to me that really the first person I heard talk about it was Cam himself. I'm sure others have, but we haven't done it here, and I haven't really heard a lot of it in other places. Well, let me put 60 seconds on the clock on a couple of different topics here. The first one is this. Myles Garrett signs a contract extension with the Browns that includes $100 million guaranteed dollars. It's the most ever for a defensive player. Now, he was suspended for 6 games last year. He never did come back from the suspension, we all remember, for hitting Mason Rudolph in the head with a helmet. So, Ryan Clark, what an enormous change that has been for him. What is your reaction to him getting the biggest contract any defensive player has ever gotten?
I mean, Myles Garrett is an absolute monster. He's a freak of nature. And the reason that he gets the biggest guarantee any defensive player has ever gotten is because Aaron Donald can't just do a new deal right now. But Myles Garrett is worth this money. If you want to win games defensively, you got to pressure the quarterback. And he's a guy who through 10 games last year had 10 sacks. He's only going to get better. He's young. You drafted him first overall. This is a good deal for the Cleveland Browns. And other than that one incident, he has been stellar as a person as well.
Nick, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything that RC said is right. You could point to like some on-field, like unnecessary roughness type penalties that he had leading up to that incident, but I think those are separate from swinging a helmet. That was a unique situation. No one really knows exactly what happened on that field, but I'm pretty sure, though I don't know Myles Garrett well, I'm pretty sure that that's something that won't happen again. However, I do think it's hilarious coming off of immediately after that, everyone or a lot of people were talking about, hey, maybe he don't deserve to be in the league. Now he's going to be the highest paid defensive player in the league. Like, that's mind blowing. He hasn't been on the field since then.
Exactly. That was the reason that I wanted to bring it up here. But so let's go to the next one here. And let's just, so for the purposes of that, let's use him as the great outside pass rusher, which he clearly is. So if you could choose to start a team right now, Dominique, with Stephon Gilmore, the best corner in the league, Aaron Donald, the best interior lineman in the league, or Myles Garrett, the best outside pass rusher in the league, which one are you taking?
Give me Stephon Gilmore. Like, it's easy for me because that ability gives you so much defensive flexibility. I think if you have a corner who can take away a top receiver, that allows you to put a safety in the box to slow down the run. That allows you to lean a safety to the other side to help somebody else out. That allows you to blitz more aggressively if you're not getting enough pressure. And I think that PFF, Pro Football Focus, did a bunch of research and it suggested that it was obvious that pass coverage is much more valuable to making you a good defense than pass rush. So give me the shutdown corner.
How about you, RC?
I'm going to take Aaron Donald. And, I mean, I don't know why we even asked me this question. I think this guy is just different. When you look at Aaron Donald compared to the player, maybe Chris Jones, Fletcher Cox, that's closest to him, I think it's the widest margin of any position in football. And so to me, when you have a guy like Aaron Donald that can get pressure in the face of a quarterback that can also stop the run and be a guy who can get tackles for loss there, it's a no-brainer. There's a reason why the last 4 years he's been a 99 on Madden, and that's not because it's his number. It's because he's just that dang good.
But really quick, are we talking about the value of the position, or he's just so much better than everybody else? Would you say that go ahead.
Yeah, I think he's just so much better than everybody else. And when I look at Stephon Gilmore, who I think is a really good player, I don't necessarily see the separation between him, Jalen Ramsey, and Tre'Davious White as big as it is with Aaron Donald. Also, and you'll know this, Greeny, you watched a man walk on water in 2009. That man was also number 24. His name was Darrell Revis.
Yes.
He walked on water. It was him and Jesus. They were the only two that ever did it. And when you look at that, Stephon Gilmore is not that level of player to me. He is very good, but he's not where Revis was. That this conversation would be different if you replace those two.
Champ did it in 05, too. I mean, we're talking about corners who walked on water. I mean, go back and watch that 05 season from Champ Bailey, also on water.
We'll take a quick break on that thought. It's an interesting question about how you would build up a team. Meanwhile, as we continue here, we have a very interesting conversation coming up next. There is trouble in the bubble. Are the players doing the right thing by calling out the ones doing it wrong? Jalen will rejoin us for that conversation right here on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and there is trouble in the bubble. The NBA has set up an anonymous tip line for players to report those who aren't following protocols in the Orlando bubble. And The Athletic is reporting that multiple tips have been placed. I want to talk about this morning with Jalen Rose and our own Malika Andrews, who is in the bubble for us right now. Malika, I will start with you. What are you hearing from players and staffers about this tip line?
Well, there's a variety of reactions, right? I mean, you have Doc Rivers saying that he's going to call on LeBron and on Giannis and on any contenders until the Clippers are the only people left in the bubble. And then, of course, you have Rudy Gobert saying, you know what, it's a little bit petty. And Dante DiVincenzo saying that he doesn't really think he's going to use it. But let me give you a little visual here, Greeny. When you walk around campus, there are signs that are posted outside of nearly every entrance to a different room, outside of the testing room, that post the number to call and say, if you see any violations, you should call this number. So it's really in your face reminding you that you can make this call. And actually, that isn't the only way to report a violation. Yesterday, when I was walking around and getting on a bus, I saw a bus driver that didn't have a mask that properly fit. And I was told that another way I can report it is on the back of everybody's credential, players, media, anybody. You can use the campus app to scan your credential and anonymously place a tip that way. So there's actually multiple tip lines to get to that kind of result.
All right. Really interesting. So Jalen, I come to you. People are calling this snitching. Rudy Gobert's comments are somewhat just sort of lacking a self-awareness considering the circumstances with him. But as far as the snitching piece of this, Jalen Rose, what is your thought?
I'm glad you used the term lacking self-awareness. Great reporting from the bubble, my sister from the Bay, Malika. And I just want to use this as a teachable moment because the term snitching continues to be used. And it's being used in the wrong connotation and used incorrectly. Mm. Snitching is a street lingo that relates to crime. These are professionals and multimillionaires at work. So therefore, if they're doing something unethical, the person that calls the line is a whistleblower. I do a show every day called Jalen and Jacoby at 4 p.m. Check us out today. And we retired words, Greeny. And here's a shirt, okay? Everybody, tell me what you call this shirt when you see it. We retired this word on our show.
Yeah.
You know why we retired it?
Yeah.
Because it's unethical. And you shouldn't be using it. And I'm going to do the same as it relates to snitching and the bubble. They do not go together. These are professionals. Somebody that tells on somebody that goes and get a Postmates or trying to sneak somebody into their room or doing something that's just going to jeopardize the season, they're a whistleblower, not a snitch.
I could not possibly agree with you more. I think that distinction is an important one. And Malika, is that, taking out the sort of Doc Rivers humorous approach to this, is that what you're hearing from most people? Or are there those who are genuinely put off by the notion that you or anyone else might report them for a violation?
You know, I don't think it's widespread that people are put off by that notion, Greeny, because like Jalen said, there is a general understanding that that is put in place for safety. And perhaps if there was no anonymity behind it, the NBA doesn't have eyes everywhere here. The players, the people who are on the ground all the time, they see more than any individual official ever could, although there is security all over the place making sure that rules are being followed to the extent possible. But absolutely, I mean, Jalen is right. It really really isn't a snitch hotline. It's an enforcing the rules hotline. And one phrase that's kind of invoked all the time around here, which as a journalist can be kind of cringeworthy, but in this situation actually applies, we're all in this together. Hmm. And in the terms of health, that couldn't be more true just because of how contagious this virus is. And so that anonymous hotline is meant to promote that.
Yes, literally everything is at stake here for the league, for the players, for everybody involved. All right, one more thing I want to get you guys' thoughts on. The Lakers are the favorites to win the NBA championship when the league resumes in the bubble at the end of the month. Our friend Charles Barkley was on ESPN Radio yesterday talking about the legitimacy of this year's champion. Here's what Chuck said.
If everybody's healthy, I think it will be elevated because they're going through a lot of crap in a tough situation. But listen, if everybody's sick with the virus and the Sacramento Kings and the New York Knicks win the championship, you damn right it's tainted. If everybody's healthy, they should get a chip and a half. But if we end up with the Knicks against the Suns and the Sacramento Kings and they win the championship and because everybody was sick, yes, it's tainted.
All right, so I think, God bless Chuck, first and foremost. So yes, I think we all obviously agree that if really important players go by the wayside because of the coronavirus, then this year's champion will feel less valid than normal. But Jalen, let me come to you on the second part of what he said. If indeed that doesn't happen, if this thing plays out in some sort of normal, regular way, should it be a chip and a half? Should this be a bigger championship than usual? Jalen.
Oh, no, we're not doing that. This is not a chip and a half. Here's why. Because basketball is a game of endurance. That's why there's a regular season MVP, and then there's a finals MVP. So you get you play 80% of the season, and then you get 3 or 4 months off to recharge your battery. You don't think that helps that gentleman wearing a do-rag that's 35 years old in this 17th season, a team that does not have to travel, no wear and tear playing in a bubble? Absolutely, it's going to be a terrific champion without an asterisk if it's the Lakers, the Clippers, or the Bucks. But let's go a little deeper into what Charles said. What if it's the Blazers? What if it's the Heat? There will be some people that still feel that way anyway. So I understand this is a new journey, but you don't get a chip and a half based on winning it this season.
Malika, what is this conversation like down there?
I mean, bless Chuck, but you have the reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, saying that this is going to be a challenging championship, and for that reason alone, there shouldn't be an asterisk behind it, and a whole brass of coaches from Eric Spoelstra to Frank Vogel saying that because of the circumstances, because of everything that needs to be worked through, this should be viewed just like any other championship would be, and if anything, like Chuck said, maybe it should have a little extra shine on it. But a chip and a half might be a little bit too far.
I'm going chip and a half. Jalen, I'm going chip and a half. I'm comfortable. Again, clearly, if Kawhi or LeBron, I don't even want to say this out loud, but if those guys get sick and they don't play, then yeah, there's nothing to talk about. I understand that part of it. But Jalen, look at the circumstances they're playing under. They're in a bubble. I mean, look at Malika. Look at what they're dealing with down there. Whoever overcomes that, it's quite an accomplishment.
And one of the things we can't keep not acknowledging, no fans.
Right.
There are certain players that feed off the crowd, like a Patrick Beverley versus a Kawhi Leonard. I agree with you, Greeny. These are extreme circumstances. The Denver Nuggets won't have home court advantage. Number one seeds won't have it. The Bucks earned the number one overall seed. I understand. But you don't get a chip and a half for winning it this year.
Okay, again, so if LeBron wins it this year, we're going to give him 4.5 championships in this group. Okay, Malika, do you want to see the happiest man in the world? Jalen, never say I'd never do anything for you. Here we go, because on this morning, okay, we are going to wish a happy 52nd birthday to the great Barry Sanders, who was born on this date in 1968.
Yes, sir.
Hall of Famer.
Yes,
again,
sir.
Jalen, I'm just going to give you the floor, the son of Detroit, your thoughts on Barry's birthday.
So, first off, happy birthday, Barry Sanders. He's always handled himself with class, personally and professionally. I've known him for a really long time. The most spectacular running back the league has seen. Yes, Sweetness had the endurance. Yes, Emmitt had the championship. But nobody was as graceful and spectacular as Barry. And when he got to the end zone, Greeny, he was the opposite of me. He act like he'd been there before.
Very well said. A very happy birthday, Barry Sanders. Malika, outstanding. Stay safe down there. We will talk again soon. Malika Andrews for us in the bubble, and Jalen Rose on his idol's birthday. Okay, coming up, They've established themselves as stars, but which quarterback has the most to prove in 2020? America has voted, and we'll have those results. We are back on Get Up, and let's get up and go through some of the news on this sports day. Chase Elliott won NASCAR's All-Star Race in Bristol, Tennessee last night in front of the largest crowd at a sporting event in this country since March. Official attendance numbers were not released. There appeared to be about 20,000 people in the grandstands for the race last night. Back to basketball, Pacers guard Victor Oladipo, who initially ruled out playing in the NBA restart, has now said there's, quote, a strong possibility he could change his mind and play. He's been rehabbing a quad injury, so we'll keep an eye on that. And other basketball news, another high school star is bypassing college. That's Jonathan Kuminga. He's ranked fifth in the 2020 class ranking. He's choosing the G League over several really big-time options, including Duke and Kentucky. And our top story this morning in the NFL, the July 15th deadline for working out deals came and went. And Dak Prescott is among those who did not make a deal with his team. So he will play for the Cowboys this year on the $31.4 million exclusive franchise tag. And wait, there's more. If he gets tagged again in 2021, his projected cap hit of $69.1 million would be the largest hit over a two-season span in NFL history. And should the salary cap flatline, that figure could approach 20% of the team's cap next season. But he's playing, you know, for a contract. And so that brought us to my poll question for today. And I put these options up. These are well-established NFL quarterbacks, but each, because of unique circumstances, finds himself in a situation where they have something to prove. So at ESPN Greeny on Twitter, I asked you, which one has the most to prove in your mind? Brady, Cam, Aaron Rodgers, or Dak? I've got a terrific squad put together to answer that question. And Tim Hasselbeck, we haven't heard from you in a while, so I'll start with you. Which of those guys in your mind has the most to prove this year?
I'm going to take the guy that doesn't have the financial security of the other three guys and yet again is playing in a contract year, and that's Dak Prescott. And so when I look at the situation with those other quarterbacks, are they, you know, do they have some pressure? Sure. Some of it probably self-induced? Sure. But there's also some security in the fact what they've accomplished in the past. You look at Dak Prescott, he's still kind of in this prove-it situation. He's made less than $5 million playing quarterback for the most valuable NFL franchise, and he's basically been told, no, we're not giving you a long-term deal. You're going to play on a year-to-year situation. And so when I look at that, it's a guy totally, absolutely just betting on himself. That's what he's doing. And I think there's an immense pressure that comes along with that.
What do you think, Graziano?
Cam Newton was on the list, right? I just want to make sure.
Yes.
Like, this is a guy that does, that has to make the team yet, right? He's got $500,000 guaranteed coming. He didn't play hardly at all last year. We don't know if he's healthy. And by the way, 32 teams let him sit there unsigned for months and months and months until the Patriots finally gave him the least they could possibly give him to get him into camp and take a look. I mean, he's got to prove that he can still play in the league. If there's a guy out there with a bigger chip on his shoulder than Cam Newton, I would like to know who it is. This is the guy that we need to know the most about of anyone on that list.
He himself is saying it, right, Ryan? And we're watching him on Instagram, and he himself is talking about the chip on his shoulder and how he's coming back at what I like to call a scorched earth tour, and he will not forget all this stuff. Which would you have voted for, RC, if you vote on the poll?
No, if that's that poll, I'm going to go with Graz and say that it's Cam Newton because of the reasons that Dan said. There were 32 teams that didn't think he was good enough to sign. And what the Patriots are basically doing is giving him a very small amount of money to come in on a tryout, because that's what it's going to be. We know that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, they'll cut you. They don't care what guy you are. They don't care what your past has been. If they don't feel like you can help them win right now, you will not be a part of this team, a part of this organization. And so for Cam Newton, this is like being an undrafted free agent in the preseason. He's not only playing for the team that he's on, he has to play to show the rest of the world, the rest of the league, that he is still a viable option. No, he is still a great option to be a starting quarterback, because it seems if they don't believe that Cam Newton can be the Cam Newton of old, that they don't want him at all.
Dominique?
Yeah, I think that there can be a plausible case made for all these guys. It's hard to argue against that Cam Newton case, but the one guy that we haven't talked about, because we talked about Tom Brady earlier, is Aaron Rodgers. So he's obviously also under pressure, because it seems that his own organization doesn't even see his future very long. They went and drafted a quarterback and running backs and not the players that would have helped him prolong his career. And he's had some not great seasons as far as production is concerned. While he still doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, he throws a lot of touchdowns. His QBR has dipped in the past couple years. He's coming off a few injuries a few seasons ago. So I think that it's fair to consider Aaron Rodgers in this conversation also, especially given the fact that his own team sent him a message loud and clear that if things don't go well, we got another guy waiting in the wing.
Yeah, that's the one that I really wanted to focus on. And I'll say it. I mean, Dominique almost mentioned Rodgers because no one had. And I can tell you right now that on my poll, he's got by far the fewest votes of any of the ones we're talking about here. But, Tim, it feels to me like he right now may have the most pressure on him because the Packers have made it clear through their action. Forget what they say. They're itching to replace him. They've already gone out and drafted the guy, and he has seen this history play out right in front of him. If the things don't go well, Aaron Rodgers could get benched this year by a franchise that he has basically carried on his shoulders and been the face of for over a decade. I think it is a fascinating situation that Rodgers is in, Tim.
Yeah, I don't think that he's, in danger of getting benched. I don't think that that would happen this year. But I do think that his future with the organization is certainly uncertain, beyond, probably next season. And so for that, in that situation, he deserves to be a part of your poll. I just, when I look at it, I see guys, everyone basically has an excuse for why it won't work out other than Dak Prescott. Cam's got an injury. Tom Brady's too old. Aaron Rodgers isn't getting the support from the team. Dak doesn't have that excuse. But I do think your point is really well taken in terms of, Aaron Rodgers is basically in a situation where he could play really well, and the team's going to end up being forced to move on from him because they need to just figure out what they have at the position. And so, yeah, there's pressure associated with that. I just don't think it's the same type of pressure when you're a guy who's won a Super Bowl, who's been paid handsomely, and if it doesn't work out in Green Bay,
Greeny,
it's going to happen somewhere else.
Greeny.
Yeah.
Wasn't Aaron Rodgers' brother like The Bachelor or on The Bachelorette
yes.
or something like that?
Yes, he was.
Right. So guys, listen up. I agree with Tim. Ain't no pressure on Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers, if they just get stupid in Green Bay and they cut Aaron Rodgers, right? You know what? Aaron Rodgers is going to have buku roses sitting at his house, and people are going to be lined up outside his doors, GMs, executives, teams, organizations, cities, and they're all going to be there like, pick us, Aaron, because we can't forget what we've seen from this man. So Green Bay, they could go ahead and be the stupid spouse and be like, you know what? I want to upgrade. We've been together too long. You don't cook and clean no more. You don't want to go to work. And they could let him go. And if they let him go, people are going to be standing outside of his door in suits, with limos and great dates and trips, ready to do whatever they got to do to get Aaron Rodgers to come twerk on their team. So it don't matter. Ain't no pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is not tripping. He around here fixing people, plumbing, and doing all kind of other stuff because he has no worries.
I understand that, what you're saying. I want to also, Graziano, let me clarify what I meant. I don't mean they're going to bench him for poor performance, but if that team falls out of the playoff race this year, there's going to be the pressure on them. Oh, let's get the kid in there and let's see what he can do. And let's start figuring out what our future is going to be. And I just, knowing Rodgers the little bit that I do, Graziano, my sense of him is he doesn't want to go out the way that Favre went out. Like, he saw how that worked out. Favre got shipped out of there to the Jets because they had decided to move on. And I think Rodgers was a guy who envisioned himself moving on at his own time when he was good and ready. And I think he is aggravated by this, and I think that if only self-motivated, I feel like there is pressure on him this year. What do you think, Graziano?
I'm really in Ryan's camp here because I think long-term, Rodgers is going to be fine. His contract becomes extremely tradable, right? If they do decide to move on in the next offseason or two, he'll be okay. Brett Favre, remember, did have a pretty good third act when he ended up in Minnesota and they almost went to the Super Bowl. So it's not as if it flamed out for him totally after it ended in Green Bay. So I think Rodgers could end up similar to that. In terms of benching this year, feels unlikely. I get what you're saying. That is often the way with first-round quarterbacks that if the team doesn't win, they end up playing. But this is a weird situation in a weird year where rookies, especially rookie quarterbacks, are not going into the season with the same kind of developmental time they usually do. And obviously Rodgers is a little bit of a different situation than most quarterbacks who are ahead of first-round picks when they come in. So I think he gets this year for sure, and maybe even next year. But I think regardless, Aaron Rodgers ends up having a fine remainder of his career, whether it's in Green Bay or somewhere else.
Well, I've already told you that he finished last in the poll. Let me show you how everybody voted on my Twitter poll this morning at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. And these are the results. 46% said Cam Newton has the most approved this year. And then Dak Prescott just narrowly ahead of Tom Brady with third place and second place. And there's Aaron Rodgers down there. People don't believe he has a whole lot to prove. We shall see. Thanks, everybody, for voting on the poll today. Meanwhile, First Take comes up at a special time this morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Stephen A. and Max will have Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray as a guest today. That's coming up after soccer. Get Up is brought to you by TD Ameritrade, where smart investors get smarter. I don't know if this was so smart yesterday. So Tiger Woods and Bryson DeChambeau played a practice round together yesterday at the Memorial. The golfers are actually on the course as we speak. Tiger plays in the afternoon. But after they finished playing, and for those of you who haven't seen, DeChambeau is huge now, and he's been hitting the ball a mile. But I'm going to make this an I'm sorry what, because they asked DeChambeau what he saw from Tiger yesterday, and here's what he said.
Back in the day, he was it. He was the golden star. He was the one everybody looked up to. Even now, he's hitting it pretty long. I mean, there was a couple holes. He hit 320, 325, and I'm like, that's pretty good, you know, for his age. It's amazing for his age.
I'm sorry. What? That was Bryson DeChambeau talking about the reigning Masters champion in the past tense and saying, you know, he's hitting it pretty far for a guy his age. Ryan Clark, your reaction.
Hey, man, listen, Tiger is getting old, and that's what happens. Like, these dudes kind of forget. He's being complimentary, he thinks. You know, it's like when a guy, when somebody looks at you, Greeny, and he's like, man, Greeny still looks pretty handsome for a guy his age. Like, that's how it works, Greeny. And Tiger has to accept it. He's getting old. We have to accept it. Tiger's getting old. And we also have to remember, he doesn't strike the fear in people's hearts that he used to. He fell off a little bit. So maybe my man was just a little surprised that Tiger was still driving the ball as well as he was.
Neek, how do you think Tiger reacted to those comments? Privately.
I hope he's upset and annoyed, and I hope he destroys Bryson DeChambeau as a guy that no one really knows other than the fact that he's swolled up for a golfer. I know that it may be true what he said, but, like, have some respect for the guy. Like, he is not AI to Jordan. He did not AI him for his survival. He is still an idol. He's not just your rival. I hope that Tiger Woods and him end up in a pairing towards the end of an important match, and Tiger busts his behind.
Mm-hmm.
But
listen, that basically happened at Augusta last April, where a lot of the great young guns of the sport all sort of fell by the wayside because the Tiger effect remains real. We'll see if that winds up happening. Tiger will tee off today at 1. Guys, you're the best. I love you. Thanks for a terrific morning. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. MLS action starts now.